From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this edition of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Faith's Conflict, Cross, and Crown. Here, the focus is upon Moses' choice to identify himself with the people of Israel, rejecting the honors and riches of Egypt. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called, A Guide All the Way. The text is found in Psalm 48 and verse 14. He will be our guide, even unto death. We need a guide. Sometimes we would give all that we have to be told exactly what to do and where to turn. We are willing to do right, but we do not know which one of two roads we are to follow. Oh, for a guide! The Lord our God condescends to serve us as guide. He knows the way, and will pilot us along it till we reach our journey's end in peace. Surely we do not desire more infallible direction. Let us place ourselves absolutely under his guidance, and we shall never miss our way. Let us make him our God, and we shall find him our guide. If we follow his law, we shall not miss the right road of life, provided we first learn to lean upon him in every step that we take. Our comfort is that as he is our God forever and ever, he will never cease to be with us as our guide. Even unto death will he lead us, and then we shall dwell with him eternally, and go no more out forever. This promise of divine guidance involves lifelong security, salvation at once, guidance unto our last hour, and then endless blessedness. Should not each one seek this in youth, rejoice in it in middle life, and repose in it in old age? This day, let us look up for guidance before we trust ourselves out of doors.
Vision, O Lord of my heart.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. For this message entitled Faith's Conflict, Cross and Crown, Dr. Cairns takes the text from verses 23 through 29 of Hebrews 11. This is the testimony to the faith of Moses. Dr. Cairns has already spoken of the faith of Moses' parents, who spared their son in spite of the king's command that all male Hebrew babies were to be killed. In God's providence, Moses' mother was chosen to nurse him after he was found in the river by Pharaoh's daughter. Now we see how Moses' early training led him to reject the pagan culture of Egypt to become the leader and deliverer of the children of Israel, his true people. By separating himself from Egypt, always a type of the world, Moses demonstrated the courage of his faith. Moses chose suffering rather than the sinful lifestyles of Egypt. He calculated that the reproach of Christ far exceeded the riches of Egypt. His sight of Christ gave him great confidence in the face of Egypt's might. Consequently, he was entirely consecrated to God. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of this message, Faith's Conflict, Cross and Crown.
His church is a suffering church. we do suffer. Some of you here today have felt the deep agony of suffering. How the devil wants to use that suffering, as he did in the case of Job, to put a wedge between you and your God. But remember this, we do not suffer alone. The reproach is always the reproach of Christ. Listen to the testimony of God's word. You remember that great passage in Matthew chapter 25, that judgment day scene, where the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34 says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." And the righteous say, "Lord, when did we ever see you unhungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink, etc.?" Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Too often when we read that passage, we focus so much on the idea of the Lord rewarding us for what we do for him that we miss the very simple truth. Can you see a believer, poor, hungry, thirsty, suffering? Jesus says, "When they hunger, I hunger. When they are thirsty, it is I who is thirsty." The hymn writer put it beautifully. There's not a pain that rends the heart, but that the man of sorrows hath a part. When Saul of Tarsus was stopped on the Damascus road, Jesus said, "Why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me?" Therefore, we should, as Hebrews 13 and verse 13 says, go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In all your sufferings, he suffers. Let that be the confidence of faith. Rather than having the time of difficulty, the time of trial, drive God's people from the Lord, let it be a time when faith lays hold of Christ. If there's one prayer that I would have for you and for me, it would be the grace of God to anoint our eyes with that eye salve of the Holy Ghost that would enable us to see Christ in every situation. That when the dark passages of life come, when you're reproached, when you're hated, when you're despised, when you're impoverished, when your body's suffering, when your circumstances are straitened, and the devil comes and whispers with the insidious hiss of the old serpent in your ear, "If God loved you, why this? If Christ were yours, why would you suffer this?" When he comes, oh, that you would be able to see Christ and realize that though you're a king in Christ, yet on this earth you're a disciple of the man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, who was brought down with great heaviness to the grave, and that you walk the way of the cross in company with Christ when you walk, as Moses did, the road of affliction esteeming that greater treasures than anything that Egypt could offer. The message is very simple, really. This is the heart of separation. I preached a message some time ago in this pulpit from Hebrews 13 on biblical separation, if you remember. And the whole heart of separation is not just, well, I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the other thing. Oh, certainly there is the refusal. But the whole heart of separation is separation unto Christ. And as I say, the message is simple. God's people would rather suffer and have Christ than reign like kings with the monarchs of the earth and be without Christ. The only joy for a Christian is Christ. The only peace for a Christian is Christ. The only riches for a Christian are the riches of Christ. The only satisfaction is Christ. He could have everything else, but if he has no sight of Christ, he's miserable. That's what it is to be a Christian. Therefore, faith looks for Christ in the darkest day. That's why in verse 27, the thought moves from one of separation to consecration. You'll notice by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now notice that this verse refers to Moses' whole ministry before Pharaoh and his final triumphant departure. I have only time to outline this. Watch it carefully. Faith will always have to face three things. A fight. There is the conflict. There is the wrath of a Pharaoh. There is the hatred of the old devil and all his minions. There is a fight. Then there is a fright. The devil will seek to put you under the bondage of fear. If the devil can get God's people to be a frightened, timid people, then he will get them to be a defeated people. But faith refuses to be afraid of a mere man. It does not react to the fright that suddenly comes upon it. It endures because it looks beyond man and the devil, and it sees him who is invisible. And then it has a flight out of Egypt and on the way to Canaan. You see, faith is not content to stay in Egypt. Now watch this carefully. Faith couldn't stay in Egypt when it was the place of defeat and bondage for the people of God. Faith can't lie down in bondage. It wants to soar to the heights of victory. But notice this. Faith could not stay in Egypt even when God was moving in triumphant power there. Faith can't even lie down in the place of its greatest triumphs. It is the heart of a faith in Christ that it is always moving forward. It is always Canaan bound. Can't be otherwise. This is the heart of consecration, forsaking Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and enduring because it sees him who is invisible. Faith's separation. Then it's consecration. And finally, very quickly, verse 28 and 29, here's the crown. After the conflict, after the cross, here's the crown. Faith's vindication. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, passed through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, trying to do the same, were drowned. The believer has two great vindications in this world. The first one, verse 28, is at the cross, the place of the sprinkled blood, or the shed blood. He kept the Passover. Now that vindication is the vindication of our justification. Your faith, my friend, challenged by the devil, hated by the devil, cursed by the devil, undermined by the world, mocked by the ungodly, held up to ridicule even by your friends at times, your faith was vindicated at Calvary because you were justified by faith. Your guilt was removed. You were established in a ground of legal acceptance with God. And let the devil rant and rave. Let the world deride or pity. When you can stand in the presence of God at Calvary and say, my sin is washed away by the blood. My guilt is removed by Christ. And I am justified and accepted in Christ and clothed with his righteousness. You have all the vindication you need. That's the first great vindication that God gives his people in the world, at the cross. But he gives them another one, and that's at the Jordan, or at the sea, if you want it. They came to the Red Sea, which will speak to us. And I think I'm not pushing this too far, because they came the second time to the waters in the days of Joshua, and it was the literal Jordan. It speaks to me of the Jordan of death. It speaks to me of going through the deep waters. And God gave them the vindication there. I want to tell you, there are waters that are uncrossable, except by the people of God. When you come to the great sea or river of death, I want to tell you, God's people go through on dry land. God's people go through, and I want you to notice this very carefully, they follow the ark of God. You read it carefully. The children of Israel didn't walk into the waters. No, sir. The priests walked into the waters bearing the ark. A picture of Christ going in. And will you notice this? Christ really was the only one that ever felt death. We don't feel it. We simply go through a door from this world into the nearer presence of God. We go through in dry land. Christ at the sea and later at the Jordan. Christ felt the death. Christ felt the chill of the waters of death. We have no such chill. We go through vindicated, for he is our salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.